KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. Big surprise coming up at 10, about 10:20. So be listening. It's pretty cool, actually. Hey, you can email me at monica@991fmtalk.com. And I've got some exciting news. I really do. So yesterday, John called in and was very passionate about wild horses. And he has decided, again, very passionately, that he is going to be the champion for wild horses. And I say that is absolutely awesome. I wish we all had passion like that about something. My passion is animals of all sorts, making sure they stay in their homes and get the veterinary care they need. Some people's passions are kids. Other people's passions are seniors, art. There is something in this world for everyone to be passionate about. Go out and find your passion and work with your passion. Whatever you do, even if it's just for an hour or two a week, if you've only got time like that, work for your passion. Another passion of mine is right here. Being with you and talking about politics, trying to get the truth out, trying to get your voice out. I made a comment when we started getting calls about wild horses. You know, where can I find more information? I had said that I was actually on AmericanWildHorsesCampaign.org. I found another place, actually, if you're interested. I looked up the Mustang Project, and I didn't get the European one. I actually got one here in Northern California. And it's about adoption and a sanctuary for these beautiful horses. And you can go there. themustangproject.org if you want to find out more about this sanctuary and what they're doing. That's a cool place. But in looking for all of this, I said those words that I hate to say. And I'm hoping this is the last time I ever say it. I said, Google it. So because of you, I am now enlightened, actually because of Dave. I am now enlightened, and Dave, I appreciate that. I've been playing with this for about an hour now. Can't seem to, Google's fighting back. I can't seem to set it on my computer, but I don't know, maybe there's a conspiracy there. But I've already got the app on my phone now, and I'm sitting here playing with it on my computer. And if you don't want to do that big, massive search engine that has a way of, always popping up ads for the Obamas, always popping up things for the Democrats, it seems to have an algorithm that, you know, doesn't matter what you search. I tried searching positive. I just put in positive President Trump, and the crap it was throwing at me was just incredible. So here it is. Duck, duck, go. Duck, duck, go. It's about privacy. Privacy simplified. So I pulled it up. I started messing with it. The couple of first things that I searched, it was like, wow, bringing me all this information and not a bunch of ads and stuff like that. So I'm looking through the background. The search engine that doesn't track you, help spread DuckDuckGo. Now, I still want to find out, you know, who is behind this and, you know, make sure it's not, I don't know, Bezos or somebody in disguise. Switch to DuckDuckGo and take back your privacy. No tracking, no ad targeting, just searching. That's pretty cool. Other search engines track your searches even when you're in private browsing mode. We don't track you, period. We don't store your search history. We therefore have nothing to sell to advertisers that track you across the internet. Our privacy policy is simple. We don't collect or share any of your personal information. Well, then you have to wonder how they make money. So I'm going to delve a little bit deeper into this. Or Dave, if you already have the information, you know, who owns this company, who started this up. But there you go. If you don't want to G it, D it. DuckDuckGo.com. I've been just throwing in different words and seeing what pops up, and it seems to be pretty darn good. It's so ingrained in us. I just ducked. Let's see, what are we going to call that? I just duck-ducked myself. Some funny things came up. That's pretty funny. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Hopefully, we're going to get some calls today. Wait, do you know anything about DuckDuckGo? Have you used it before? 884-9910. Also, some really fun, cool, exciting information coming up in just a little bit for our friends in Smith Valley, actually. Let's go to those phone lines at 884-9910. Check in with Kevin this morning. Good morning, Kevin. What would you like to talk about?
Two quick things. I'm not very computer savvy, but Google is my only browser, and when I put in DuckDuckGo, it keeps kicking me back to the Google homepage. Any suggestions there?
Yes. Don't browse it. Go up into your computer's, I don't even know what you call that, the line at the very top where you put the actual addresses in,
okay,
and put in DuckDuckGo.com.
Oh, do it up there instead.
Yeah. Yeah, do it up there instead, and then it'll take you directly to their site.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to check this out. And then one other fast thing. Megan is going to do a thing at Glen Eagle. Could you repeat the 411 on that?
Yes, Megan Barth, if you don't know her regular name, it's Reagan Babe. She fills in. She used to actually be the fill-in for me as well. And she is going to be at Glen Eagles. It's going to be on July 25th. It is the Carson City Republican Women's Club Freedom Fest. And they are making it so simple to attend this year. Great food. There's going to be music. It's $15. You don't have to pre-register. It's just $15 at the door. There's going to be raffle prizes, drawing prizes, and it's going to be like-minded people just sharing great ideas. And I'm excited to get to meet her. I think that's very cool that she's coming up and being a part of the North. And I'm going to go down to Vegas and be part of the South. So we're bringing these conservative values all the way through. We're trying to connect everybody. So I don't think you need it. Do you need any information more than that, Kevin? Contact the Carson City Republican Women's Club. And if you want to get a MAGA hat or anything, they got those there. And we're just going to have a good time. Food, family, and the flag. It starts, boy, you would throw that one at me. Yes, I do, because I have it here on my calendar to attend. And I've got it. Let me pull it up. I'm trying to. Let's see. 5 p.m.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful night and at a great place. And we're all going to be, you know, sharing the same ideas.
And men are allowed to go, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's a misnomer, Kevin. I want to clear that up right now. Carson City Republican Women's Club, Mount Rose Republican Women's Club, all the women's clubs have men as members. all of the events are open to men and women. It's just what they're called. It is open for everybody. Kids can even come if you've got, you know, nieces, nephews, kids, grandkids. Bring them too, because we'll have some great speakers, and it's just to learn about what's going on in America and right here at home.
Well, it sounds really good, and I sure appreciate it, and I love your show.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the fact that you asked those questions, and you're going to come on down. Freedom Fest, July 25th, 5 p.m. All you got to do is get it on your calendar. Just put it on your calendar. Even if you're not in the Carson City area, it is still a fun event to go to, especially at Glen Eagle. Come on. The food is amazing. And that's how you talk freedom. Freedom around food. We gather. We have a few drinks. We eat. We talk. And it is the best environment. So I hope I see you there. Coming up with a big surprise right after this on the Monica Jay Show on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. I say for all of Northern Nevada, and boy, we are covering it more and more and more. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. But right now I've got an in-studio guest. He has this way of twisting my arm to let him on the air, but that's okay because he sounds really good. It's my boss, so if you ever want to complain, none other than Jerry Evans. Hi, Jerry.
By the way, I never physically touch you, ever. No twisting of the arm. In today's Me Too world. I can add to that liner that we just ran, without getting too deep into the weeds, a C2 is KKFT is licensed as a C2. It's a 50,000-watt footprint FM. But despite all the technical difficulties and all of the frustrations with yesterday, when you try to do what we, not try, but do what we did, which is to essentially, we have a new radio station that's now broadcasting not only your show, but the rest of the programming on KKFT, and it is KSVL, and that's a signal that's licensed to Smith, Nevada. So the coverage of that, which is a C3, which is a 25,000-watt footprint. So between this and Tahoe and KSVL, add them all up, and it's a lot of it's a big NV energy bill every single month.
You're the talk of Nevada now.
So the people listening in Smith and Yerington, thanks for putting up with the technical difficulties. There'll still be a few. We'll get them worked out over the next day or so. And you've got your own talk radio station at 92.3. And Monica's show is on Monday through Friday. Welcome to call her anytime. She does a good job of giving the phone number. A little bit of a different programming on the weekends. There'll be some Fox Sports on Saturday mornings and Sundays. Other than that, most of the programming that you hear on KKFT at 99.1, would you come west from Smith and Mason Valleys, you hear on 99.1. You can hear all of the programming on 99.1 or over there. Now, one other thing, let's see, I mentioned that there are some a few technical difficulties. We'll get those worked out, and then next week we'll be back to the transmitter side to get those worked out. But it's your talk show, your talk radio station. So you can listen anytime. You can give Monica a call this afternoon. Not this afternoon. Lars will be on with the best of today, but Megan will be there for the rest of the week. So you guys and you folks from Smith and Yerington, you can call this radio station anytime. And the phone number 775-884-8000 for the business line. Dan and I were driving down there yesterday, Monica, and unfortunately I didn't have my microphone hooked up to the radio in my truck because I was yelling at it about this wild horses. Not to get off subject, I think I covered everything on the radio station, but yeah, 92.3. And for those of you who head down to Mason Valley or Smith Valley, tune in to 92.3 and you'll hear pretty much everything that you hear on 99.1 down there. So wild horses, huh? You want an education
wild
on wild
horses?
First of all,
if it's coming from you, I mean, how, what can I say?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do horses multiply?
Of course.
Okay. So what happens with any species if it is not managed? If you're going to put wild in front of them, and there are several people, maybe you have some facts to dispute them, that would tell you that the horses that you see throughout Nevada, there are no Mustangs anymore. These are horses that people have just released or whatever. Regardless of that, though, if you do not manage any species, it's a detriment to the species. I mean, look at the wild bears that we have that grew and grew and grew and became problems. And you remember the No Bear Hunt group in Nevada? It was going to destroy the tourism of Tahoe, wasn't it? That was about 4 or 5 years ago. If you started hunting bears in Nevada, it was going to destroy the Lake Tahoe Basin and tourism. Did that come true? Okay. It's a rhetorical question.
No, I was thinking about the question.
Okay. I asked you if horses multiplied. Does land multiply?
No.
Land is a finite resource. So if
yes,
you
is.
Overgraze, if you over anything on land, it destroys it. Now, here's a comparison for I forget the caller yesterday that said that there are thousands of people from all over the world that come out to the West to see wild horses. I'm not against that. Again, you have to manage the species. If a species grows by 20% a year, in 5 years you've doubled the species. You haven't doubled land. You haven't doubled resources.
Jerry, you missed the whole point of our conversations that we were having. The whole point of the conversations was that the horses that are getting rounded up are, if they have three strikes against them with a BLM, they're sold off for slaughter and food, for horse meat in either Mexico, or they go up and they're slaughtered for dog meat up in Canada. The point of the whole conversation was the BLM is not talking to anyone. And I got a great email from a rancher yesterday that I've been responding with, that they don't talk to anybody. They just do as they will. So the people who want to save the wild horses and the people who want the grazing land for the cows can't even work together and have conversations because the BLM won't talk with them.
Okay,
I
have a correction.
For controlling the population, they should be out there and they should be getting the birth control.
And who should be paying for it?
And there are Mustangs okay. out in the air. Okay. Who should be paying for it? Oh, my God, that's the same argument I had with somebody. The government and the BLM pay for all these roundups, stressing and killing the horses. Why don't we use some of that money for the birth control? I mean, go out and land that helicopter somewhere, have a veterinarian with the darts, and it's probably going to be even less money.
It would probably be unsuccessful, but that's just my opinion. But let me go back on your points. They're going to round them up and they're going to sell them for food. I have three words, either so what or good. That way you're putting the resource to good use. If there are people that want to eat horses or use their hides or whatever, at least you're putting some good use to the resource that does absolutely nothing for our resource, this land, and they're destroying the grasslands. So at least something is good at happening there. Now, here's another thing. Go back and do some research. In 2008 and 2009, when I was working for Safari Club International, we as an organization were working with BLM to try to come up with a solution to manage the population. And you come up with a brick wall with people with bricks for brains that think that you can't kill a horse. And you can't. I mean, it's not going to happen. We're not going to be able to go out and shoot and kill and harvest horses, period. But BLM does work with and was working with Safari Club International to try to come up with a solution. Now, an individual, yeah, I'll think about it. The BLM is not going to take any government employee is not going to take a call from somebody and work with them directly in most cases. If it's a rancher that's got 100,000 acres or so, they're probably going to work with them and have a conversation with them to try to come up with a solution. But when you come up to, as I said, the brick wall of people saying that you can't manage horses in any way, shape, or form, especially if they're going for food or some other utilization, that's where you can't have a conversation that's with somebody that doesn't have an open mind. And for example, if you point out the statistics and the facts about the way animals,
that you shouldn't have the conversation, and those are the people you shouldn't have the conversations with. We used to be a kill society here for dogs and cats, and now Washoe County is a no kill and has no kill facilities. You're cutting into my Fox News time. If you want to consider continue this conversation, stick around.
Hey, I on the KKFD radio station. We can pass on the break for that matter. But wait a minute, I have to pay bills. All right, we'll take a bottom of the hour break.
All right, here's Fox News on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT, it's the Monica Jay Show, live and local FM talk at 99.1 FM talk. And those talk lines are open at 884-9910. Stick around for the top of the hour. I've got a very special guest, Victor Jakes, who is a columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal. We're going to be talking about voter fraud. And for those people who say, oh, we don't have voter fraud here in Nevada, yes, we do. And he's found it. So please join me at 11, and he will be my special guest. My special guest right now is my boss, who I'm arguing with. We both obviously have different opinions on the wild horse situation here in Nevada. And there you go. Now I know you're wrong, Jerry, because Pee-wee agrees with you wholeheartedly and just sent me a text.
Thank you, Pee-wee.
Jerry and I have the same opinions.
You know, you can draw an analogy between wild horses and illegal immigration.
Please draw the analogy.
Well, you've got a. We have a limited number of resources. I'm talking about taxpayer dollars. If you can't, if you don't control illegal immigration, that's not good for the country. Same thing with horses. Now, I'm an avid hunter, and here's the problem that wild.
Wait, you didn't let me respond to your analogy that I'm not going to.
That wasn't.
You know,
that wasn't a question.
Kill illegal immigrants and eat them.
It wasn't a question. It was just my, you know, somewhat slight.
Your analogy.
My analogy. And you can rebut that if you want. But let me just point out, and again, it's the problem of not being able to speak to somebody about something and them having an open mind. I do. For example, if there was a wild horse advocate that could explain to me why you shouldn't be able to manage a resource simply for the fact that the horse is going to be eaten. Do you know that Indians ate horses? Do you know that Lewis and Clark ate horses? Do you know if you're out there starving, I guarantee if you find yourself in the middle of nowhere and you're with your horse, choosing between dying and eating a horse, well, it's up to you. I know what I would do. But, for example...
Yeah, I know what I... But just, we don't situations in this time. We're talking about right now.
No,
we're
and
not
right,
talking about Lewis and Clark time.
And right now, we're spending over $300 million, me and you, everybody, taxpayers, are spending over $300 million a year managing wild horses, taking care of wild horses. I love wild horses, love seeing them out there, but they have to be managed. You have to use common sense and manage the population. Again, you have a finite resource. It's the land. It's the vegetation. You cannot let something go unmanaged or you will have problems, which is why we're having this conversation, which is why you have horses running through DeMonte Ranch. Now, you have to manage the population. Now, let me compare it to hunting. For example, I was down, you go out anywhere and you talk to these guides that have been around for 30 plus years, for example, at the base of the monitors down by Tonopah, and you can stand there where I'm standing there with a guy that's been in that area 30 or 40, grew up in Tonopah, but has been hunting in that area 30 or 40 years as a guide, and he can say, Jerry, 15, 20 years ago, you'd be standing in grass thigh high right now. Once the wild horses moved into this area, look at it now. It's nothing but a few weeds, cheatgrass, and sagebrush, and there aren't any elk like there was 40, 50 years ago. Let me tell you the difference between elk and horses.
Trying to bring up a conversation with you is like trying to educate with a liberal. You overtalk.
I'm waiting
and
for the.
Don't
I,
let it.
Okay, I'm waiting for.
I can't break in because you haven't taken a breath while you're talking for me to say something. So if you hold your horses literally for just a moment, there are. I heard that, Dan. There are intelligent people who want to help manage. Obviously, there's an issue. We do have finite acres of land, but it needs to be managed and that grass needs to be regrown. Who's going out there and helping make sure that there's water, make sure that the grass is regrowing? And
hunters.
Overgrazing as well. Yes, I wholeheartedly believe in hunters and the work that they do, but you're not going, you already said it yourself, you're not going to hunt horses. So what do? You work with the people that have intelligent ideas about birth control. It might take a few seasons for those numbers to start dropping down, but until then, maybe we can actually help our lands and get some, you know, grasses out there, some native plants, because it's also the grazing of the cattle that brings it down as well. It's not just horses. Horses aren't just the problem. But if you cut off conversation altogether, nobody wins. Nobody. You have to, that door is closed for the BLM. And talking to an international group, like you said, goes a lot further than the people who are down here on the grounds, on the Nevada land, the conservative conservation organizations that are coming up with these ideas, who are trying to rescue the animals. I mean, they're not even put in holding pens that can sustain the numbers of horses that they actually pull in through the roundups to a state where they're okay. They're dying in the pens as well. So the people that need to be working with the BLM are the ranchers and are the conservation groups who want to manage the land and want to make this possible.
And, you know, let me show you an example of what I was talking about. You may be right about that, Monica. In fact, you have a valid point there.
I am right about it.
Okay. The fact that there aren't enough holding pens, but at the same time, I would say, well, it's because we have been stopped from managing horses that there aren't enough holding pens because the population continues to grow without managing it, because there are protests every time an attempt to manage, to round up. And again, yeah, again, if for the snowflakes out there, you know, put your hands over your ears, because horses will be taken to a slaughterhouse and sold to a company that will put the resource to good use, if it's feeding dogs that run in the Iditarod, or whether or not it's feeding people in Australia or Japan or wherever that don't mind and or like eating horses. Fair enough. Now,
you have to look at the age of those horses too, because too many horses that can be broken, that can be retrained, that are in good health, that are younger, they're getting shipped off as well. And that's what I think the snow, if you know that a horse is old, it's not going to make it, then by all means, put it out of its misery. But you can't just keep rounding them up without taking the other steps of making sure that while you do these roundups, you're putting birth control out there as well, so they stop breeding.
Now, let me give you an example of birth control with quote-unquote wildlife, because horses are not wildlife. But the Chicago suburbs, for example, this was done about 10 or 12 years ago. They were going to do a sterilization program for white-tailed deer, as opposed to letting people hunt them, Chicago being Chicago, there was a sterilization program that cost the taxpayers there over $40 million, and it did not work. Just real quickly, just here's a you mentioned horses versus cattle and grazing and whatnot. Here's a difference between horses versus cattle. Would you rather eat a horse or cattle? What good do horses do grazing versus cattle?
I eat a lot grazing. Of chicken, actually.
Okay. But just a small point. So, again, there's some common sense, and the common sense is when you get into these wild horse advocates that do not have an open mind about rounding up and killing. And, again, I love horses. I wish when I was younger I would have perhaps gotten a horse. I always wanted a little pony, a little Shetland. No. But so it's the people with a completely closed mind that will make up stuff, like the guy calling in yesterday about thousands of people coming over to see the wild horses versus, let me give you an example, state of Colorado alone, do you know what hunting does, what hunting revenue is generated in the state of Colorado itself? I tried to look up Nevada, and, you know, I get my own issues with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. But I won't go there yet.
I was going to say, don't get the hunters started, because we don't give our hunters here enough tags.
$1.8 billion a year is generated by hunters. Hunters contribute to conservation with the Pittman-Robertson Act. $1.8 billion, that goes to the local gas station, to the local restaurant. If those hunters, if the wildlife is gone because there is no resource for them to feed on, the hunters don't come. Now, again, just compare that to horses. What good do horses do? Question mark.
If you look at the feral cats out there that were taking over everything, the catch and release, you catch them, you sterilize them, you release them back to where they are, that works. Whatever sterilization program was tried in the past, you say it didn't work. Well, then it was the wrong sterilization program. Just because you try something, even if it, trust me, we waste enough money in this country on BS stuff. And if you failed at that sterilization project, then I'm sorry. There are enough people who love wild horses that they will donate to come up with another sterilization project. And you can't tell me that the people who are out there doing this and who work with government agencies, sorry to say it that way, aren't taking advantage and charging more and not getting the job done and pocketing money. That's just the way government works.
Well, I'm all for any of the... go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt there. Let me stop. Go ahead. Finish your thought. Then do two-way radio. When you're done, just say, over.
Oh, I can't wait until I see you in person. Now you made me lose my train of thought.
Well, I didn't lose mine, so here's a thought, too. I think it's fantastic that there's a sterilization program that hopefully someone other than the taxpayer is paying for to do that. Again, I love horses. They're great.
They're beautiful animals. The taxpayers are paying for the roundups.
Okay. Well, it's a cost. It's like stopping illegal immigration is the same as managing wildlife. If we're going to ask the BLM or whatever department to manage wildlife, it does cost us money. It's the cost versus the benefit. And the benefit of, again, reducing the horse herd by whatever it may be, 50, 60, 70, 80%, if you reduce the horse herd by that amount, that allows Mother Earth. Do you people, wild horse advocates, you understand that terminology?
Oh, do not even start
Mother
that.
Earth will heal herself. There will be more forage for wildlife, which generates not only millions but billions of tax dollars every single year in other states. I'm focusing on the West here, but millions of dollars for the state as well as for the local gas station owner, the local diner, the local sporting goods store, etc. That's what hunting does versus, again, I think the biggest threat, besides the safety issue of driving through neighborhoods with wild horses in them, is the cost effect of wild horses, which is a negative. It is only a negative. Yeah, there may be people that drive over from wherever or fly over and look at. And again, it's the entire West. It's just not Nevada.
You minimalize that. Yes. You minimalize that. Yes. That's why we have the wild horse place. That's why we have people come over from Asia because they're, you know, pretending this is the Wild West and they want to go out. Okay, so maybe we don't charge enough for those tourism outings. Maybe we don't charge enough, but there are people out there taking photographs of them that are selling those photographs and they're making money and they're putting it into the economy. So wild horses do have a financial benefit. We're arguing about something that can easily be fixed if people would actually just sit down and talk, have a mediator, and work out a solution. You can't have people go in angry and say, oh, we can hunt them. They're not. Your argument going up against somebody who's for sterilization, you're not listening to them either.
No. I just said I was. I think I just said it was a great idea. I think it boils down to the number of, and again, the people that are, the people that just cringe at the thought of a horse being killed for food or something else. Can I pick up the conversation with you after the break? And we have a caller that wants to give their two cents worth.
Yeah,
as well.
I was going to say we can, but we got to let Clint speak his mind first. Right here on the Monica Jay Show on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT, it's the Monica Jay Show, live and local FM Talk at 884-9910. We're going to go to those phone lines on 99.1 FM Talk and check in with Clint this morning. All right, Clint, who are you going to gang up on?
I'm going to gang up on you. He is 150% correct. And that's why he makes the big bucks.
Clint, stay on the line after the call is over, and we'll send you a gift certificate to your favorite.
Oh, you are such
That's the way it works, Monica, in the real business world.
I know. I've done that, too. Clint, you live out in Silver Springs?
Yeah, Silver Springs area. There's so many horses out here. It's unreal. It's such a nuisance. I used to love horses. I used to love them completely. Now I just want them gone. I want them gone. I used to be on the fire department, and I've seen vehicle versus horse accidents. It is not a pretty sight. People out here, they feed them, they water them, even though it's against the law, they're not allowed to do it, you know, the yada, 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 they still do it. The people that are building the road out here, they had swimming pools, those little portable plastic swimming pools, set on the side of the road every so often, filled with water for the horses.
Yeah, why don't why don't we draw them toward the road to see what happens?
Again, people don't pay attention to the law.
Well, that's the whole thing. People don't pay attention at all. I mean, they've let these things, they let their horses go, and majority of the people that let their horses go are the ones that standing up saying, oh, don't hurt the horses. Well, you're the one put into the problem. If you wouldn't let your horse go in the first place, we wouldn't have, you know, a little bit more of the situation that we have now. And the wild
Mustang,
I agree
with that.
The wild Mustang issue, there is no more wild Mustangs. These
Bingo.
Tame horses have got with these wild Mustangs and bred out the wild Mustangs. And you can tell them from the facial features of these horses. They used to have, you could tell the Mustang from the tame horses by their facial features. Now they have bred themselves together, and they are not Mustangs anymore. These things breed like rabbits out here. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they're in the...
Again, that's why I go. We need birth control.
We need some kind of conservation. And, I mean, if we need to feed the hungry, if we need to feed Africa, just like your boss man was saying there, that's what we need to do. I mean, we have to manage these animals. Every animal that we have seen in the past, the elk out here was almost took to extinction, and we brought in conservation, and we conservated that animal, and now the elk has populated back up. Every animal that hunters hunt or anything, we have a conservation to it. We manage that animal because animals cannot manage themselves. They don't know anything but
Clint,
survival of the fittest.
Thank you, Clint.
Hang on hang on the line so Dan can get your information. I wish it really was that it was survival of the fittest. But again, man has gotten involved. And when man gets involved, we screw things up. Jerry, thank you so much.
I was going to say women
today. Would you shut up?